Bakla!
Hi everyone, welcome to Buckle Up Podcast. I'm Natalia Earle and I'm a certified business and life coach that loves talking to people. I'm fascinated by humans and how our brain works. What is it that makes a decision good or bad, and how does that decision ultimately shape our path and destiny? Everyone loves to talk about success, but what about the flip side? How about adversity? Failure is such a big and often necessary part of life, and it's simply unavoidable. So I invite you to join me on this inspiring, honest, unpolished interview show with breathtakingly real conversations that go deep on setbacks and hardships that are part of the puzzle that ultimately lead to growth, discovery of inner greatness, and what makes us resilient.
Buckle up!
Grab your helmet and buckle up, people. It's going to be a bumpy ride, but what a ride it will be. Today's episode is brought to you by Sobi Promos. Are you looking for a way to spice up your marketing campaigns? Let the experts at Sobi Promos help you pick the perfect promotional product to reach your target audience. You guys, I get all my marketing materials from them, and I get like a kid in a candy store. If you can put a logo on it, Sobi Promos can make it happen. Honestly, they make all my dreams come true. They're firm believers that your giveaways don't have to suck, and they want to help you nail your next marketing effort. Use code BUCKLEUP for your 20% off at SobiPromos.com. That's S-O-B-E promos.com. Or let them guide you through the process by emailing sales@SobiPromos.com. Oh, and tell them Natalia sent you. Today's guest, Eric Horstmeier, is a health insurance professional with U.S. Health Advisors. He's the divisional sales leader of his office on Miami Beach, which currently supports 65 licensed agents. Eric attended law school at NYU, where he attained his LLM in tax law and practiced law for 10 years in Kentucky, Tennessee, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. In 2004, Eric decided to pursue his foodie passion and opened his first of what would soon be 8 restaurants and bars on the island of St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. He served as CEO of Blue Shore Restaurant Group for over 14 years until Hurricanes Irma and Maria wiped out St. Thomas in 2017. Those hurricanes turned out to be the biggest blessing of his life as they indirectly led him to his current role at U.S. Health Advisors. Hello, Eric. Thank you so much for being here today. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you arrive at the place where you are today?
I'm originally from Kentucky. I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky. I went to high school there and went to college at a small little liberal arts school there called Center College. Was an athlete most of my life, played football my whole life, all through college. And then my career kind of hopped around. I'm in my third and hopefully final phase, but I started out as a lawyer. I went to law school at the University of Louisville and then got my master's in tax law at NYU. Practiced law for about 10 years. Learned a lot, you know, working for the firms that I worked for and moved around, and I never was that passionate about practicing law. I mean, I liked the competitiveness part of it and being in the arena, I guess, when you're in court and things like that. But that was few and far between. Laws kind of changed over the years where everything's kind of just done through paper and it just wasn't really satisfying what I wanted to do with my life. And I did like the helping people and advising people and that part of it. So I always knew I wanted to do that. And then I decided, I guess I was a kind of a bored lawyer in year number 9 of my practice, and I opened a restaurant. At this point, I had accepted a position with a firm down in the Virgin Islands in St. Thomas. So I got there. My wife, Nicole, and I decided to open a restaurant, and it was supposed to be the side hustle, and then it ended up taking off beyond our wildest dreams. This restaurant was called Havana Blue. It ended up being ranked one of the top three restaurants in the Caribbean for years. That one restaurant grew into seven units that we were all in St. Thomas, all multi-concept restaurants. So I quit practicing law in my 10th year and went all in on the restaurant business and had a really good run there for about 14 years. Where'd I go from there? Well, you know, let's see. I went through a divorce in 2016. And then in 17, after having the restaurants kind of on cruise control, we were making a lot of money, doing really well. I mean, these restaurants in that market, it had like a revenue growth looking like this. Like every year it was higher than the last year. It was not like most restaurant stories. And we had a lot of great people working for us too in those places. But she and I continued to run the restaurants together. Even after we got divorced, we were business partners. And then 2017, Hurricane Irma hit. And that was it. That was the reset, the official reboot. I was at ground zero at that point, lost all my revenue, all my income. And I had to pivot into the health insurance game, which is what I did. And that's what brought me here. So that's the short version. Obviously, there's a lot of nuances to that we probably can unwind. 2017 was a life-changing moment. It's really strange how it's all worked out. Now, fast forward 5 years later, that hurricane actually turned out to be one of the biggest blessings of my life.
And, you know, restaurant industry is very close to my heart because I was in it myself for 12 years. And it's a very, very tough, demanding industry. Yeah. It's definitely unfortunate what happened. But the same thing that happened on the West Coast recently through Hurricane Ian, and yeah, a lot of people are going through the similar lessons as you went through. What your advice to them would be?
Hurricane Ian brought back a lot of bad memories, right? At least I remember being in that moment where you just look around and it's just complete devastation. You don't even know where to start. And St. Thomas was the same way. We got hit by Irma, I think it was on September 6th. And then a week later, Maria came through. It was two Cat 5s back to back. So I went 14 years with basically no hurricanes, few misses, close calls, but then two just whoppers that took us out. And there was no recovering from it. I'm still in litigation with the insurance companies trying to collect the insurance that we're owed from all that stuff. But what my advice would be is you've got to go back to the skill set that got you where you were at. You've got to take confidence in that. And that's all you've got is your experiences, your skills that you've acquired through business, through school, through whatever your experiences were. And you have to trust that those are what's going to lead you into the next thing. You don't know where it's going to come from. You don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know how it's going to show up. I mean, for me, I was asked by a friend to go to a meeting. I was kind of looking for something, obviously, to do. And I went into this meeting with him. He was interviewing for this insurance position. And I thought, I could maybe do insurance. Walked into the meeting. Within an hour, I met Don Dente and Ron Leonard, who were two people that, you know, obviously changed my life forever. At the end of the meeting, I threw my credit card down. I threw my driver's license down. I said, how do I sign up? Got in, got licensed to rebuild. If at that point I started rebuilding and, you know, it was a slow process, you know, you just got to go back to work. That's what I had to do. I had to find that gear that I had in my 20s when I was building my law practice, that I had in my early 30s when I was building my restaurant business, where you're just working 18 hours a day. You don't even know when time starts and stops. You're just working. The money follows the work. The success follows the work. And so for me, I just put my head down at age 47, went back at it, and it was all in all day. I was basically 7 days a week, you know, when I wasn't with my kids. Everything was focused on rebuilding. Obviously, they were my biggest why, how you get up every morning. I started getting up at 5:30 in the morning, no more sleeping in till 9, no more taking off Saturdays or Sunday fun day in Miami. Those days were over. I just went back to work. You know, it's amazing what happens. People start to show up. And then that agency that Ron and I started there here in Miami for the two of us ultimately grew into about 75 agents. Fast forward 5 years later, and I got promoted out from under Ron, opened my own office, and I've got 65 agents now myself. Yeah, it's just been an unbelievable rebound, I guess, if you will. And I never thought I'd be in a position. I didn't know anything about health insurance 5 years ago. And
right.
here we are today with one of the largest producing agencies in Miami Beach.
That's so wonderful. And it's true. It all comes down to hard work, right? And going back to your core values and core skills, like your strength, what got you to the places where you went. And, you know, even when I visited Fort Myers, I was there 2 weeks ago, and you see the devastation and you see that, you know, the shock on the people's faces because nobody knows what to do. And so many people rely on government. And especially here, I hear people say, oh, well, government will help, but they were nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
You know,
no, there's no, you learn that, I guess, when you're in those moments. I had a few of those moments, you know, where you're on the floor and you're just on your knees and you're wondering how you're going to get out of it. Well, how's this going to go? Here's the thing. The sun's going to come up the next day. Everybody's going to go back to their job, their life. Your friends and family love you. They care about you. Yeah, I got checked on, but there was no one's coming to save me. No one's coming to rebuild the nest egg that I'd built up that I had to basically liquidate to avoid bankruptcy, right? You built it once, you can build it again. And you have to have that kind of attitude and confidence because someone else has gone through it before and they've come out on the other side of it. And if they were able to do it, you know that you can do it too. You just have to believe in yourself and you've got to get out and hustle. And that's what I did. This year is kind of the first year I've been able to kind of dial it back since that year in 2017. So I plan to get out and smell the roses a little bit this year, play a little golf. I haven't picked my golf clubs up in over 5 years. I've not played a round of golf. I played twice a week before. You just have to give up those things. None of that stuff matters. That would be my advice. You can't lose if you just don't stop playing.
Absolutely. And hard work always pays off. What do you consider a biggest lesson that adversity has taught you?
Well, all the good stuff comes from those adversities. I never made a seven-figure income prior to going through the worst thing in my life. Last year, I did. I know that going through that is what gave me that extra skill set, that extra drive, the extra information, the extra ability, the networking, meeting people, all the things that came with that adversity put me in a position to make more now than I ever would have envisioned and I ever made in my prior life. And I had a good life prior, right? It put me to the next level. It allowed me to level up, actually, not just get back to where I was, but actually level up to a level that I had never had or seen before. Adversity is going to teach you everything. All the good stuff's going to come from being uncomfortable. And that's what we teach our agents too. You know, what we do in the health insurance game is not easy. It's a hustle. It's sales. It's commission only. You've got to get up and get after it every single day. We call it mind over mattress. You've got to get out of bed early and get after it. And it's uncomfortable. You know, it's uncomfortable not knowing that you got that paycheck coming on Friday. The upside of this is so good because it's unlimited what you can make. Right. There is no cap on what you can make as an insurance agent. It's a direct product of your work. We teach them that all the time. Stay uncomfortable. If you're uncomfortable, then you're doing something right. If you're feeling like you're getting beat up a little bit, you're having a rough week, probably on the track to getting that next big deal. Probably going to pop out of the sky here next day or two if you just keep after it. And this was no different. It was no different. I just kept faith and I surrounded myself with good people and that good things would start to happen.
Yes, I definitely can relate to that because it seems like I keep telling myself every 10 years I change my careers because once I get comfortable, I leave. Because then it doesn't drive me, doesn't fuel me. Being uncomfortable motivates me. That's when I strive. That's when I taste the life, so to say.
Isn't it funny how they teach it not to do that, though? Like society tells you that if you're hopping around, that's not a good thing. Like, oh, it looks bad on your resume. Or what'd you take off 2 years and go to Europe for? Those are the things, actually, that where you'll find that thing or that one, you'll meet that person or you'll find that opportunity or something will change or shift your life in those moments. I find, at least that's the way I've been. When I step out on the limb and, you know, you got to jump, that parachute doesn't open right away and it's scary and you get beat up coming down, but eventually it opens. you'll find where you're supposed to land. I tell my son, he's going to be 17 next month. You know, I want him to try everything. I want, you know, do it all. You can fail and screw up so many times in your 20s and still end up right where you need to be. But so try a lot of things until you find what you're really, really passionate about.
Yeah. And that was going to be my next question. How do you teach your children about failure?
I mean, well, they witnessed it. They got a good lesson through that. I get my kids every other weekend. So, and my son lives with me full time now. You know, going through that every other weekend, they were there, but every Saturday from 12 to 5, they were around, but I was on the phone. I was working on phones, dialing, working leads from 12 to 5, and I didn't skip. And the same thing on Sunday. So I didn't take the whole day. I mean, we'd spend time. I still got to spend some quality time, but it wasn't the same as it was before where I had all day to go hang out at the beach with them. We went from living in a 5-bedroom house to living in a 2-bedroom apartment for a period of time. And my daughter would come over, she'd sleep on the couch. Now we're back in a big 5-bedroom house. You just got to go through it to get to it. They went through that with me. I think they've got a good lesson, and I tell them that all the time, like, hang in there, we hang in there, things will turn, and they did.
I believe two biggest driving forces are fear and love, and fear is a boogeyman, and unfortunately, it stops so many people from doing amazing things, and fear of failure is one of them, but failure is one of the most important classrooms you'll ever attend, and it's so important to go through this.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. I was actually in the gym this morning. There's a saying written on the wall, and I'd never seen it before. It says, the cave that you fear to enter is where your treasures lie. Mm. It's true, basically, what you're saying. Like, everything is on the other side of fear. A lot of people don't want to jump into that arena. Unfortunately, I think this life is really we're set up to where if you're going to have success, you're going to go through that.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just going to kind of exist, live to pay bills, trade your time for money, work for somebody else, get a paycheck, pay your bills, end up with very little, go back, do it again next week. Ask for permission to go on a vacation, ask for permission to go take a break. That's not living. To me, it's not. And I know a lot of people have to go through that. And we all been there. We've all done that at some point in our life. You truly can work your way through that if you're willing to step out and, you know, bet on yourself. Some point you're going to have to bet on yourself if you want something more than that.
For sure. And why do you think we are not taught that, especially in early years of our lives?
Well, I mean, the whole system's kind of upside down, in my opinion. Like, you go to college, and I went to a great college, very academic oriented, great professors, but the professor's making what? 80, 90 grand a year, making a good living, maybe 100 grand a year. And they're trying to teach us in business how to make $1 million a year. Does that make sense? Right? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. You set your number. We all have our number, what it is. What do we want to make to live? We all have different feelings about that. We all have a different relationship with money. Some people want to be a millionaire. Some people are okay making 100 grand a year. And whatever it is, that's your success level, right? That's, if you're good with it, then you're successful. I say to everybody, what do you want to make? That's the first thing I ask the new agent when they come in. What do you want to make? Because there's no limit here. You want to be a millionaire in 5 years? You can do that. You want to make 100 grand a year? You want to work part-time, make 50 grand a year? You can do that. And so when they tell me their number is, then I tell them, well, okay, all you got to do is sit next to that person because that's what they're making. So you sit next to that person, you do what they're doing. And it's copy and paste. If you want to make $500,000 a year, then you need to get into an environment where you're around someone who's making that and then do what they do. That's it. There's no secret to it. And I guarantee you that involves a significant amount of work, probably more than 50 hours a week if they're making that kind of money. From the interview stage all the way through, we're trying to teach our agents that. Like, get in here, get around the people. There's all my leaders, I've got 7 of them, are all making high 6 figures. So all you got to do is get in here and get around them. And they're going to show you the way. Just like Ron Leonard showed me the way. It was no different. I just, whatever he said to do, I did. If he said jump, I didn't ask him how high. I just started jumping and followed, be coachable and copy and paste. And you'll end up in the same spot.
Exactly. And having a right mentor is so important.
Very important. I never knew that either. I didn't realize how important having a mentor was growing up. It's not that you can't do it without that. It's that it's so much easier if you have that. Like, you're going to expedite your learning curve so much faster to get where you want to get if you have somebody kind of helping you show you the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Skip years of pain.
Years of pain. Years of it.
What is the most important quality that you look for in others, personally or professionally?
Loyalty is big for me. You know, I like being around people that I trust, and I think that trust me. I think it's earned. It's not just given. It's not given by a title. You have to earn it. I like my crew here. This is my extended family. We work so much together that we're here. And so we got to trust each other. It starts there. And everything builds from that. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I admit that to them all the time. That's the other thing you've got to be willing to acknowledge. I think when you do screw up, they'll respect that in the end, and you can usually work through it and patch it up. If we start with that foundation of trust, the respect follows after that, and then you can really build something together. And that's what I'm doing here that now, and watching the team grow and evolve. We started this year with around 40 agents, and now we're at 65 at the end of the going into the end of the year, and we're probably going to go up another 15% and 20% in revenues by the end of the, December. And so that's not me, that's the team. And that's the other thing I've learned is you cannot build anything significant by yourself. You have to have a team around you, and you have to put people around you with those qualities that you want, you know, to see.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people try to concentrate on their team's weakness instead of their strength. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the big mistakes, because if you concentrate on their strength and highlight who's good at what and have them take charge of that, gets built faster.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. All the leaders on my team are totally different personalities.
Exactly.
But they all bring something unique to the table, which just kind of works. Some of them are very social and go out all the time. And, you know, they're building their business organically through networking and things. Some of them are in the office working the phones all day, and they're building their business that way. And they're both having success, just doing it two different ways. But anytime you put a bunch of personalities together, you know, businesses and organizations fail because it's so dynamic with the personalities, and the personalities typically endure conflict at some point.
Yeah.
Usually doesn't last that long, right? I mean, you look at any organization. I think it's constantly being aware of it, focusing on it, constantly reminding each other that you do respect each other. No matter what happens, we might not agree on everything. Someone may have a bad week or a bad month where they're just kind of out of integrity with everything. They're not doing their part. But we can still respect them and bring them back in and get them back into the game. My team's good at, I think, protecting our circle of trust. We don't want to let anyone in that we don't think's on the same wavelength.
Right.
As far as building what we're trying to build, we try to hold each other accountable. I tell them all the time, they don't work for me. I work for them. I'm here to help them build their businesses. We talk about the concept of servant leadership a lot. And that's what I want them to be with their agents, where they're just trying to help other people level up. I'm helping them level up. They're helping their agents level up. And in return, what happens? We put up a monster sales year. That's how you get there. So focus on helping other people, and the rest will take care of itself.
Absolutely. And Eric, what's success to you, and how do you teach that to your team?
To me, it's being able to get up every day and create my day. I'm not there yet. I'm still have to answer to several others and other situations and people and organizations every morning. I want to be at the point one day at some point where I'm financially free enough and professionally free enough where I get up every morning, I can create my day. Whatever it is I want to do that day, I create it, I go do it. That to me is success. Mm-hmm. Like, that's rich. That's wealth, whatever you want to call it. It's not just the zeros in your bank account, although that obviously that helps too. But it's really just having that kind of freedom to get up and do that. because there's a lot of people making a lot of money that are beholden to powers that be that they don't like, or that they don't respect, or that they're not happy with, or whatever. They got, it's like a job rather than, and they're getting paid a lot. So they're doing it, but they're not happy. I don't want to be in that situation. And thankfully I'm not. I work for a great company. They give us a lot of freedom. Eventually I want to get big enough where I can step back and get up every day and create my day.
And what would people not guess about you?
I don't know. I think people think sometimes I'm intimidating when they first meet me, and then they realize that I'm not. I mean, I try to be fair with everybody. I don't lead with an iron fist by any means or anything like that. I like to get a consensus in the direction of where we're going with our team. Sometimes I think that works against me, though. Sometimes I probably should just put my foot down and say, no, we're going this way, and this is what we're doing, and you guys like it or don't. But I typically 90% of the time try to get everybody's buy-in to what we're trying to do, what I want to do. So I think I'm very open to that, other people's ideas and stuff. But when you first meet me, you probably don't think that.
And what scares you right now?
I mean, there's a lot of things that scare me right now in our country and the divisiveness of our country. And it's so funny to me because I'm in an office here with so many backgrounds. I mean, we have literally every race, religion, creed you could imagine represented in this office. And here we all are building something amazing, leveling up, trying to have success, working together. We don't see the differences. What we see is the common purpose. Somehow along the way, I feel like we got lost in this country with that. It wasn't like that when I was coming out of high school in the late 80s, early 90s. And the other place I see that where there's no divisiveness really was in the locker room. And it's the same thing, right? I look around, most of the guys on the team were African-American, and I was, you know, on the team, a two-way starter, and we didn't see that. I mean, we just went out and worked. We bled, sweat. We love each other. To this day, those are my brothers. I'm their brother. We talk. I mean, you know, if we see each other, it's just like old times. There's something there, and I don't know what it is, that's the solution to what we see going on right now. And it scares me that it's just so divided.
Right.
And it's because I don't think, you know, people haven't found that common purpose. They've forgotten it, or they've lost it. Like, what are we as a country? What are we as Americans? You know, we're in this state of yelling at each other all the time, and it's so polarized. You don't see that polarization in a locker room. You don't see it here in this office where you've got literally everybody working on the same focused goal. I don't know exactly. I can't formulate what the solution is, but I know there's an answer in there.
I know. I'm like, how do we fix it? Because this is not what this country is about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's horrifying to me. You know, I'm an immigrant. I immigrated here 30 years ago, and I love this country and what it stood for. And right now, my PTSD is in a high gear because I run away from this stuff.
Yeah, we all have. I mean, everybody has. Everybody's thought about, like, okay, well, can I leave? Should I leave? Should I go live somewhere else? Like, you know, how do we get to this point? Well, I don't know. I think people forgot that the humanistic characteristics of others, and that we're all the same. We all bleed the same. We all have the same goals. We all want to be successful. We all want to take care of our families. We got to get back to finding a common goal, because that's the only way to find the harmony. There are forces out there trying to divide us through gender or race or political party affiliation or whatever it is. They're trying to divide us. We got to stop listening to that. Obviously, that's a easy thing to say, not an easy thing to do right now.
Right. And what gives you hope?
Well, every day I walk in here and I look around and see people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, working together, getting along together, laughing together, hugging, crying, helping each other. That's what gives me hope, because that is what we are. That's what we need to strive for. And I'm lucky. And it's not just my office. There are 50 offices of U.S. health advisors nationwide. I think they all operate that way.
Yeah.
Like, we're very lucky. Our mission statement is hope, helping other people every day. The agents in this company really, really embrace that. You go in any office, it'll look like this melting pot of America with all different types of people from all different religions and races and backgrounds and countries and foreign countries and so forth, and immigrants like yourself. It's like a well-oiled machine. It's like a perfect symphony, and they're all working together, and they all get along. They all respect each other. They're all friends. They're all family. And that's the reason why our company, I think, is so successful too.
Yeah. Right. But it also all starts from the top. So you're not giving yourself enough credit.
Well,
here.
I mean, I'm the top of my office, but I mean, yeah, we've got a CEO, Troy McQuaig, who we all just follow him. And you're right. It does come from the top, and his team that he has, US Health, is just phenomenal. They show us the way. And then hopefully we, as leaders, all of us kind of take that and implement it in our place. And then you get the end result, which is a pretty overall harmonious way of operating. It's an example for, I think, a lot of other companies and a lot of other people. And, you know, it's the way things should be. Hopefully we can get back there overall in more of a global scale. But all we can do is try to fix our environment first, right? So you got to fix your, what you can control.
Starts with us.
Yeah. Starts with us. Hopefully we can go from there. But yeah, I wake up every day, count my blessings, lucky to be here. Love the company, love what we do. Your question is a good one. But yeah, every day I walk in here, I got hope.
That's wonderful. I want to come and work with you guys.
I mean, it's not for everybody, but it doesn't sound sexy. You know, health insurance doesn't sound like a sexy profession, but it is a lot of fun. And we are solving a big problem in America. It's a big problem. Obviously, open enrollment started today. So all the new health plans are out, and this is our busiest time for the next 2 months. We'll literally be working 7 days a week. All of us, phones will be ringing off the hook and helping everybody that we can, because we work nationwide and we're trying to solve a big problem. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah. I think what life has taught me personally is we always think that we are untouchable. We always think that we're invincible. And this is why I feel like people have hard time when you start talking to them about health insurance, but like, you don't know what tomorrow's going to serve you. You don't know what next hour is going to serve you.
Yeah. A lot of people think that, you know, they don't need it because they say I'm healthy, I don't need health insurance. And we always laugh at that because I think it's like 87% of all health insurance claims are accidents. They're not sicknesses. And that's where you get that big bill that comes out of nowhere. And if you're not covered, it can set you back for years. And I think the number one cause of bankruptcy is still unreimbursed or uncovered medical bills. Certainly something you want to have. And there are affordable options out there for everybody. If you just need to get with someone that can show you everything that's available. And that's all we do. We just show everybody their options and help them get whatever they want. Obviously, never recommend going without it.
And do you work with small businesses as well?
We do. Typically, we don't do group health insurance per se. We don't sell group plans. With smaller groups, typically under 10, they're usually better off doing individual plans for their employees.
Okay.
There's ways to do that, and it's more flexibility. You know, we don't focus on that, but if it comes across and we could help a smaller business get out of an expensive group plan, because they're usually really expensive for small groups. You know, if you have a 5-person company and you're getting a big group plan, it's going to be super expensive because you don't have as many people to spread the risk out. Our wheelhouse is self-employed people like yourselves, entrepreneurs, people who don't have a company plan. Those are the ones that need the most help. And that's our business model. That's what we focus on.
Wonderful. Yeah. And the ones that need the most direction, because sometimes you don't know where to start because it's so overwhelming when you look at it.
Yeah. And don't ever Google health insurance and sign up on one of those websites, because you know what's going to happen. You're going to get 1,000 phone calls. Those are not quoting engines. They are lead vendors, and they're going to take your name and information, and they're going to sell it to someone like me, who's going to then, one of us is going to call you. So we'd rather you just make one phone call rather than get 100. Just call any of our agents can help. It's much a better process that way.
Yeah, makes sense. So last few questions that I ask everyone, Eric, if you were granted 3 wishes, what would they be?
Well, I'd like to play one more season of football. I could play one more, go back. Everybody's mad at Tom Brady for not retiring, right? But if you played, you understand where that comes from. Because once you hang up your football, is not like any other sport. You don't get to, you know, tennis, you can go play. Baseball, you can go play softball. Basketball, you can play late into life. When football's over, it's over.
Right.
You don't get to put the helmet on anymore. Right. And so I'd love to play one more season. That would be fun. My other wish would be, I would like to go back in time to like and experience that Mad Men era, that, you know, from the TV show.
Uh-huh.
I like that era. I'm more of an older soul, I think. And so I would have loved to have lived in that era of the drinking old fashions and martinis in the office and you know,
smoking long cigarettes.
Yeah. Smoking a lot of cigarettes, although I don't smoke. That era in time was just such a fascinating time for me to look back. I didn't experience it, obviously, but I saw my grandparents come through it, and people were different back then. They, like we were talking about earlier, they certainly interacted with each other, I think, better, different, and it was better without all the social media. I mean, my third wish, if I had any wish, but at this point, I want to see my kids grow up and be successful, find a career that they're passionate about, it like I am about mine now. It took me to age 47 to find the career that I couldn't wait to get up every morning and go to. Even the restaurant business I loved because I was a foodie and I loved it, but it was a lot with 300 employees. And I mean, it wears on you, right, over time. My daughter's a singer. She's in the New World Academy here in Miami, and she's in the singing acting program. She wants to go to theater school one day. She's really talented. My son's a Dean's List straight A student at Miami Beach High, and he's a great writer and loves to write. Writes these amazing poems, poetry. I had no idea I'd have a poet for a son, but he does. He is really talented, and so I want him to hopefully be able to find a way to pursue their passions and make a living and live a good life.
That's wonderful. And what would you like to be most known for?
This one's easy. Talking last night to some of my leaders, you know, in 2 years, my vision is that we're all sitting around a table and everyone at that table is a 7-figure earner or better. It's not just that it's about the money. It's just that we've all leveled up, and I know where they all came from too. I started at zero. Most of them did as well. The legacy that I'm going to leave, I think, will be to help a lot of people level up into leadership here and create financial freedom for themselves. Be able to then continue passing that forward. You get where you need to get, and then you reach back and you bring somebody with you. Who are you bringing up with you? And that's the way we're set up. I have 7 leaders and they all have teams. You know, we operate that way. And so I'm helping them level up. They're helping their agents level up. And that's the legacy. And it's a powerful one, because you're literally taking people from one level of life and putting them into another level of life. And, it's great. It's very satisfying. I don't even care what my paycheck says every month anymore. I'm looking to see what theirs is. What are they doing? How are they leveling up? Where are they going? It's just been amazing to watch.
So, I love that too. Like watching others grow and just recognizing that you brought something to that person, you know, you added to their growth. I think that's the best feeling.
I've got one, my top agent, she was a professor. Right, making $40,000 a year. And last year, in her going into her fourth year, she made $550,000. So now she went from $40,000 a year to over $40,000 a month. That's the legacy I want to leave for them. And she did the work.
Right. Right?
I just showed her the way, but she did the work. And if they're willing to do the work, that's what I tell them. I wish I could do the work for them, but I can't.
Right.
You know, they have to bring that and they have to do that. But we're going to show you the way. There's a path to that, and you can achieve that here with the right amount of effort and the right plan. And it's plan and effort. You got to have both. Congrats, Leah, if she's out there.
Wonderful. And where can the listeners find you, Eric?
Our office is at, right on 5th Street, south of 5th, Miami Beach. Obviously, the best way to reach out is just, you can call me on my cell phone. It's 305-570-8411. Somebody here can help you. If you're looking for health insurance and you're in that situation, or if you're looking for a new opportunity, new career, you're at that stage where you're trying to figure out what's next. I would strongly recommend anybody, whether they've been in sales or not. I never sold anything in my life till I got into this. It can be learned. I would say anyone should take a look at this, because if you want to change your life financially, I think we've got a really good platform to do that fairly quickly. Not overnight. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's a way to do it really, really quickly. And it's something that's really, really gratifying. Could be something you should probably look at. And that's what we tell everybody. Just come in, watch the presentation. We do recruiting pitches 3 times a week. Come in and watch and see what it's all about, and then make your decision. And if it's not, no harm, no foul. You'll probably learn something in the process, though.
For sure. Yeah, I always say two industries, the restaurant industry, everybody has to work in it to learn something about life and sales.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. So many of our agents are from the hospitality world. Two of them are from my restaurants that are no longer. One of them was a chef, Tony Gomez. The other one was a food and beverage director, Kyle Kennedy. I've got our former bartenders, Denise St. Lawrence and Ashley Merced. They've all recently started with us. So it's been fun to watch that happen too, like from the past career, bring people into the new opportunity, because hospitality is great, but it will wear on you. At some point, you got to move out of it, right?
It's very draining mentally and physically.
But it pays really well. And so it's hard to break away from for a lot of people, you know?
Or cash. You get used to that cash. Yeah,
cash every day. You know, one of my other leaders, Sean Lightborn, was the head of marketing at Nobu Hotels. So we've taken a lot of hospitality people and helped them transition into this. And they've all had success with it, because I think it's that they're used to working the long hours. So they're not as afraid of the work. They're used to talking to people a lot. And so they have that part of it down. And so with them, it's really easy. We just got to teach them the product.
Yeah. And they're used to multitasking. That's a big one.
They can do it. So
yeah,
we love hospitality. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to be on the beach. Is because we think it's a fertile ground for recruiting, because there's so many hospitality workers here, right, on Miami Beach every day.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally. Wow, awesome. I'll have to stop by and say hi to everyone one of these days.
Come by.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we have meetings every Friday, so 11 o'clock. You should come by and we'll give you the platform to talk if you want to come by and presentation. That'd be awesome. I'd love to have you here.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. It was a pleasure having you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. And I think what you're doing is great. I think your concept, Buckle Up, is amazing. We always hear about all the good stuff that happens all the time. And sometimes you got to go back and look at the adversity that you went through to get there. So your concept's really, really cool.
Thank you so much for taking this ride and spending part of your day with me. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. And if it inspired or impacted you in any way, and if you got anything helpful out of it, don't forget to subscribe. It would mean so much to me if you left a quick review and shared this podcast with others on your social media platforms. And of course, don't forget to tag us. Stay true to yourselves, friends. Until next time. Adios.